Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 528, Frozen 2, Into the Tundra. I don't know. Doesn't it feel like it should have a slug line, a subtitle?
I wouldn't even know what it would be.
I don't know either.
Into the Mist? I don't know.
I don't know. But it feels like it should have
it
one.
Should, yeah.
Frozen 2 somehow seems lazy.
Maybe, I mean, the dark beginnings of getting into the real fairy tale.
Yeah. I mean, that's a hell of a tagline.
Yeah, that's a little. Normally, you don't want a verb in the slug line like that. But so normally, we go around the table. We should probably introduce our guest.
Yeah.
League of Show Share member, Patreon subscriber, longtime listener, Julianne Jordan. Hey, how's it going?
Going good. How are you guys?
Good.
We are Kevin-less this week, so. As if being on the show isn't exciting enough, you get to do it without having to deal with Kevin.
Yeah. Ta-da! Hooray!
Yeah. I was really excited when you guys messaged me to do this, so thanks again for inviting me to be on the show.
Yeah, you're very welcome. So,
one of the few perks yes. of the Patreon.
And you had to go to two movies this week, so you'll be on the next one, too. So,
yeah, I went to the first one on Friday and the second one on Saturday, and I'll tell you, the Frozen 2 that we're about to do was a better movie, but less of a good experience.
This is interesting because I think we had opposite reactions.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
this will be interesting then.
Well, I would say go around the table, but there's not much of a table to go around.
Just a line.
So say your name, Joe.
This is Joe,
and this is Tom. There we go. Shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play. Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, you can subscribe while you're there so you never miss an episode. And, of course, find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers, where you can like the page and join the League of Show Sharers. People who were kind enough to share the episode this week, Librarian Cynthia, Carl Clarkson. That's a new one, I do believe.
That is a new one. I think you're right.
Welcome, Carl.
He just asked to join the league, too.
Oh, how about that? Susan Carlson, Griffin Fox Smith, Ron Johnson, Brent Smith, Travis Tewitt, Julianne Jordan. We will say your name. This does not fall under the Brad Hyen rule because you shared last week's episode. So
Next week. Brad Hyen rule.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah.
Brad Hyen rule.
Next week I get skipped.
Right. Chris Sanders, Gabriel Lugo, Chris Magic Man, Jason Weese, Aaron Marlowe, Chris Williams, Dylan A. Lang, Tammy Sherman Powers, Zara Vander Creek, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, and Lane LeVanway. So thank you so much for sharing the show. And what else? Oh, our Patreon, of course. Don't forget, you can go there and subscribe, patreon.com/realspoilers. $5 a month gets you all sorts of bonus content, the pride of knowing you helped out, and maybe an invite to be a guest.
Maybe. And there should be a new episode coming up this week, I think.
Awesome. And what's it on?
We did an audio commentary for a Nicolas Cage movie.
Okay.
Whoa.
What was the Nicolas Cage movie?
Kill Shot, I think.
Okay.
It's so new that Amazon Prime, it's on Amazon Prime. So you don't have to rent it. It's available for free. Amazon Prime,
okay.
If you have that. It's by the, I think the guy that did The Replacement Killers with, what's her name? Mira Sorvino and Chow Yun-Fat.
Gotcha.
It's a movie. Barely.
That's kind of how all of his new movies have gone.
Yeah, like, it's interesting, to say the least.
Yeah. If it wasn't for, like, Saudi Arabian tax shelters, he wouldn't have a film career.
He's got one of the worst beards I've ever seen on film.
Oh, I thought he was straight.
No, he's not. Well, he might be. I don't know. But it's like Hulk Hogan, Just for Men colored beard.
Gotcha.
Like, it's bad.
I think he first grew that beard for that movie, what was it, Outcast with Hayden Christensen?
Did you ever see that? Is that the wizard one?
I think so. The only thing I really remember from that movie is when Nicolas Cage disappears out of the movie for a while and comes back, his opening scene is like him scratching his face with a snake.
That's a Nicolas Cage choice. He's like, no. People love this.
And they're like, but Nick, it's a romantic comedy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I love this, Nick.
It's weird when you say the name of Nicolas Cage movies. It's like, have you ever seen a movie where they reference other movies, but they make up fake movies rather than using real movies?
Yes.
All Nicolas Cage movies now sound like they're one of those
they
movies.
They do. Like, they belong in a movie.
You rattle off these titles, and I'm just like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
how have I not even heard of this?
When you don't pay your taxes, you have to take whatever they give you.
Oh, goodness.
Talk to Wesley Snipes.
Yes. So,
we have a review.
Oh, we have a new review?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
It's a 5-star.
Oh, okay.
Granted, the other one was 5 stars, but she did kind of rail against me.
I just looked the other day, and
it popped on Wednesday, apparently.
We didn't have one, so okay. What's it?
It's from Celeste Goo. I went through many movie review podcasts and got to this one. It surpasses them all. Love how they go through the whole movie and discuss scene by scene. The reviews are fair and said respectfully with cool facts and movie banter mixed in. I find myself wanting to rewatch the movie after each episode because of how many things that they shed light on. Fun podcast with great points and insight on movies they review. Definitely recommended.
Awesome.
So there you go.
That's very great. Nice.
Yeah.
So it's our first one since August.
Yeah, it's been a while since we had one, so that's wonderful. So thank you very much.
Yeah,
and so there, I guess that's all that. I guess let's dig into Frozen 2. So
Frozen 2 Annihilation.
Yeah,
I mean this is it's the movie Annihilation.
Oh, I guess it kind of is.
Can I start by asking, like, how was your theater experience seeing this movie? Like, how exactly, like, many little kids were in your theater?
So, my original plan was to take the 8-year-old on Friday. So, I started looking at showtimes at noon for, like, 6 to 7:50. Like, nothing past 7:50 because she would be asleep.
Out. Yeah.
Right.
Everything was sold out. Every showing, everything. Like, the only seats were left were, like, at the very front. I'm like, I'm not doing that. That sucks. So I saw it Saturday by myself because that didn't raise any red flags in the theater.
End up on a watch list.
Yeah, no kidding. 9:45 Saturday morning. And I would say it was probably a lot. Like, that's the best. I mean, it was a pretty good mix. I wouldn't say there were a lot of little kids. But like 5 and up for the most part.
So I saw it at press screening, but there were lots of people brought their kids.
Yeah.
And the crowd was collectively very restless. Oh. And I was on their side.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm like, I think they misspelled the title of this movie. It needs a few more Z's.
wow.
Yeah. We'll get into it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
In my theater, I swore when I saw Incredibles 2 with my stepson that I was never going to go to a kid's like movie that early ever again. And then you guys messaged me, and I'm like, ah, crap. So I got the earliest showing I could get on Friday. It was an 11 a.m., and half the room was kids that were probably 6 and under. There was a lady in my row who was taking pictures of her daughters in their Frozen costumes during the movie with her flash on. Gross.
I had somebody in my Facebook feed post a picture of their kids watching the movie. And I'm just like, what are you doing?
Let them watch the movie.
Yeah.
Don't be that person.
And like, the 10, 15 minutes worth of commercials now that we get at our theater at the start time of the movie.
That sounds light.
Oh, really?
I would pay extra to go to this theater. It's like 25.
Yeah, and I will say that, like, at least in recent memory, the kids stuff, they've dialed that down.
Yeah, they have.
I felt like you got like one or two, but for Frozen, I got at least four to five.
I do think it's typically less, though, because they know the kid, especially a lot of times. And they took Heat. Disney took Heat. I forget which movie it was, but they put a Frozen short in front of it.
Oh,
Coco.
It was Coco.
It was Coco.
Yeah, it was Coco.
It's the Snow Boogers.
Yeah. The Frozen short was like 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
And so it was like they show it. So like in some theaters, the movie wasn't starting until almost an hour after the posted start time, because they would show all the trailers and then they showed this 20, 25 minute short.
Yeah.
And people were just like, holy hell, what are you doing?
It's not a short.
Yes.
You just showed me a cartoon.
Right.
Yeah. Put it on TV or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think it was a pretty good mix, and I didn't
I think she was still finishing her story.
Well, I would say like it just the kids were so restless, like with the commercials at the start time, and then more trailers, and then there were more commercials after the trailers. By the time we got to the start of the movie, the kids in my row were like running around, standing. Luckily, I'm in one of those theaters with the big recliner seats. So it's like half as many people as there normally would be in a theater, but
yeah.
Still, I mean, it was rough, man. Crying babies. Like, I really had to focus on the movie and just put all the rest of that out of my mind.
That's tough, man. That's the thing. I feel like they need to set aside a screen for six and under. Like, just do one screen, six and under.
I think for a movie like Frozen, they think that, like, every screen is going to be
I guess
bad.
That's true.
Yeah,
I
mean, you just kind of got to go in expecting it.
Yeah, it was...
When you're going to a kid's movie, especially a giant kid's movie like Frozen 2.
Yeah,
like,
that's fair. Just,
like, you're on their turf now, man.
That's true. Like, yeah, I know. This is not Avengers Infinity War territory.
Wait, you don't go to a Gallagher show and complain about getting watermelon
no,
on your
that's
shirt.
A good, that's
like,
a good point.
You chose to go to a Gallagher show.
Also, going to Frozen, you might get watermelon on your shirt,
touche.
Depending on how sick your kid gets. Yeah, this is... I don't, like... This is a weird movie, because there's a lot of psychological like diagnoses going on in this movie that they don't address at all. So like Anna is super like what's the word? Codependent, like hardcore with Elsa, like refuses to like almost ends her relationship with Kristoff because she refuses to let her go.
Well, that's understandable, though, because they, you know, for their entire childhood, Elsa was ignoring her. So they're only sort of like just back together recently. So she's trying to just drink it all in all the time.
You're right. But they don't address it. Like Anna comes off as crazy pants, like refuses to just do any let Elsa do anything on her own, to the point where Elsa's like, no, I'm going to push you away. Like she's making the relationship worse. Because she's so smothering of Elsa, we're to the point where Elsa's like, just get on this boat and get away from me. I'm going to do this on my own. So I feel like there's a lot more songs in this movie. I feel like in the first Frozen, you had Kristoff, you had Olaf, obviously Let It Go, and Do You Want to Build a Snowman?
Right.
And that was it. And I feel like in this one...
No, because you had Anna singing with Hans.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Maybe the songs were better. Maybe
well,
that
songs is the,
were
the first
definitely
movie
better.
For sure. Like, it's more of a Broadway format where the songs further the plot. Whereas, like, usual Disney musicals, like your usual animated movies, the songs help you with character development to help you get to know the characters more. But in Frozen, it was to further the plot more. And they sort of did that in this movie and sort of not. So that's probably why you felt like the music was more prominent, because it wasn't really furthering the plot every time.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's fair.
Which I don't like.
No, I don't either.
I think if a character's singing a song, it should further the plot.
Yeah.
Or show off some aspect of their character.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure,
it doesn't
sure,
necessarily
sure.
need to move the plot, but like, or it explains something about what they want or what their motivations are.
Right.
Right? And this one... Yeah, the songs didn't do that. I didn't, and they weren't very good. Other than Olaf's song,
yeah, Olaf's song was good.
I didn't really care for any of these.
I thought that Elsa's main song was fine, but it's like you're following "Let It Go,"
right?
You know, so it's that it doesn't matter what you're going to do.
Yeah,
like that was a lightning in a bottle, and they were going to recapture that,
and I felt like they were. Desperately,
oh, they wanted it
in search of a Let It Go.
They wanted it bad.
That they had two that they were hoping one of them would work, and neither of them did.
Yeah.
In my opinion,
you talk about the
it was Into the Unknown,
yeah.
And Show Yourself. Is that
yeah, because that's the Panic of the Disco one.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
I totally heard that during the credits. I was like, is that Panic at the Disco? Yeah. And I saw it later in the credits, and I was like, oh, that is Panic at the Disco.
And then Weezer covered Christoph's song at the end of the credits.
Gotcha.
Am I the only one who thought that Christoph song, like, during the movie sounded like a Bryan Adams ballad?
I think that's exactly what they were going for, was like an 80s rock ballad.
Yeah.
Like, even to the point where they kicked it off with, like, a guitar. And I was like, who's playing guitar? Like, where did that come from?
But I felt like with that song, they needed to, like, pick a... Because it was also, like, it wanted to... They were kind of visually making fun of it, like it was... Like it was a boy band kind of song.
Oh, I thought
it was
be
like a little, and they
like
were
Mr. Big.
They were kind of doing a little bit of everything, and it was like, just pick one and go with it. I liked what they were going for, but it was like they didn't. I don't feel like they fully committed to the joke,
right?
You know,
and they didn't. That was a very weird,
weird.
So okay, so we're gonna. I don't really give you a time frame as to where we are post Frozen 1.
No, they tell you at some point. I think they told you it'd been like 3 years.
Okay. Okay.
But I feel like they told you later in the film, because I was trying to figure it out, too, like, how long has it been?
Where are we in this?
Yeah.
But the movie kind of opens with young, we go back to Elsa and Anna as children, and their parents are there and telling them the story of their grandfather, and basically how they made friends with, what is the culturally appropriate term for?
For the snowman?
No.
Well.
For the
like,
people in the
like
woods.
Like the native people?
They're like North herds.
Well, I mean, they're Native Americans.
No, they're not. They're not in America.
Well, I know that, but I mean, like, that's the idea.
Well, they were like sort of Inuit, but not really.
They're a fictionalized tribe, and it's like the North, the North lords or something like that.
Yeah, it was North something. I should have written.
But
it
I feel
down.
Like they, I feel like I read somewhere that the Disney actually went to.
It's based on an actual like an actual tribe in Norway or wherever the hell this is supposed to be.
I think it's Norway.
Okay, it's okay for me to not know that.
No, that's fine,
because they're white, and so nobody's gonna get mad at me.
Who knows?
But yeah, but
translucent up there,
right? It's like Somali,
okay.
Or it's like Samli, but there's like a little dash over the A.
That's how they get you.
I don't know what that means, but they reached out to that tribe because apparently. They felt like they were kind of written out of the last one.
Oh, okay.
And so when they decided to make them a major part of this one, they reached out to them and were like, can you help us? So we don't, even though this tribe isn't called your tribe, it is. Yeah. North Aldra.
Okay.
I think there you go. That's right.
But it's clearly a fictionalized version of your tribe. So help us, you know, not get.
We don't want to screw this up.
Picketed.
Right. And you know how we talk to the Samoan culture?
Right.
Like, that's what we're going to do here.
Yeah. And so they had they've been very involved in the process, and they're very happy. And they actually, have a contract
with them
about how they're going to try and do everything they can to, like, make it representative of
the true stuff.
Of their culture.
Okay. So, yeah. So
not,
basically.
Not that I had any problem with this, though. Like, it was fine, and, like, I wouldn't change anything about this movie, really. But, like, this fairy tale is based on a Hans Christian Andersen fairy tale who was writing fairy tales, like, at the turn of the century. Like, this isn't, like, some, like, heritage fairy tale that they're adapting, like Moana. And, like, I'm just, like, I feel like Disney's trying too hard with this stuff.
I can understand that. I guess I feel like after getting the trailer for Soul... And then, they're at least trying to be diverse in that not everything is a white princess. Like, they did that with Tiana,
right.
But they haven't done it since. I got the trailer for Soul, which looks amazing. Like, it looks insane. And then the Happily Ever After, whatever that one is, their other one.
Okay,
with Tom Holland and Chris
Pratt. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I guess I can appreciate them trying to incorporate... other cultures and other people into the Disney stuff rather than just being, oh, there's Belle and there's Ariel and there's, well, I guess there's Pocahontas. I guess that's kind of a big one. And Mulan. But you haven't really seen...
Jasmine,
yeah. Since then, you haven't really seen anybody else represented. So they tell this story about how the both...
Well, and you also tend to see, like, an ethnicity represented once and then never again.
Right.
Like, I think that's also starting to... to show. Like
when you
when you get your first one, you're like, oh cool, it's the first one. And then you're like, and then you look around and you're like, it's been 20 years
the only one.
of the first one of whatever, but then they never circle back around.
Yeah.
And that's when it
so
starts.
So you get Sterling K. Brown in this.
Yes.
As a character who I thought he was great. Yeah, so the two cultures are coming together and they decide to build this dam that will bring the communities together. And then somebody attacks somebody and there's a big fight and it pisses off the elementals, basically, of this forest. Earth, fire, wind, and water. And they shut up. There's a big mist that drops over this forest and cuts it off completely, like annihilation. I mean, even Olaf says, things may change when you walk into the mist. And I was like, wait. Wait a minute. Are we going to get some weird, like, bear dog monster later in this movie?
I was hoping it was Narnia. Yeah.
Well, see, and they said Enchanted Forest, and I was like, oh, are we doing a tie-in with Once Upon a Time? Like, that'd be awesome.
Would explain why Elsa showed up on that show.
Do you guys watch Once Upon a Time?
I tried. I watched the first, like, 4 or 5 episodes, and it just bored me to death, and I bailed.
Well, I only know that Elsa showed up on it.
Well, it's Disney's own, like, fan fiction, basically. But Frozen, when they did that storyline in the first half of season 4, it's the only one that they basically picked up where the movie left off. And it's quite similar to this movie. And, like, they find out that their parents went to the Enchanted Forest to try to help find, like, something to get rid of Elsa's magic and all this other stuff. And
This is on the show?
Yeah.
That's
beginning
weird.
Of season 4. You could totally watch just the first half of season 4, get the Frozen, like, story arc and be good to go. Like, you wouldn't need to watch anything else. But it was very similar to this movie, so as I'm watching everything that's unfolding, I'm like, oh, okay, so I guess we're not sticking to what happened to Once Upon a Time. It's like, yeah, it's just very different, but it's very good. But yeah, I thought we were going to, like, go Enchanted Forest on this. I was like, oh, that'd be fun.
They didn't. Well, they did kind of, I guess. So we flash forward to present day. And everything's kind of going. Elsa still seems a little off. Like, this is, you know, she doesn't really know where she belongs, and she's struggling with who she is as a person. And I was like, there's a script where she's gay.
Oh, like, yeah. I mean,
they're it's all over the place.
Yeah.
And they just wouldn't pull the trigger.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I mean, just do it. Why? I mean, you're not going to hurt anything. It doesn't change your care. There's a scene later where she's sitting with. Mud honey. I don't know what it hurts.
The box office is what they're
I guess
afraid
that's
of.
True.
Yeah.
But there's a scene where she's sitting with one of the people from the woods. And I was just like, what? I mean, just do it. Like, you're right. Not do it. But, like,
I was like, it's still a kid's
movie. I know. Pull the trigger. I mean, I have a feeling there. This scene was the scene where she, you know.
She finds the bush in the Enchanted Forest.
Exactly right, yes.
A maraca sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, no, this is something they did touch in Once Upon a Time. They do a storyline with Red Riding Hood and Dorothy from Wizard of Oz, and they put them together. And that's something that they can tread in the Once Upon a Time show, but I feel like if Disney did that in one of their big box office movies, like Frozen 2 now, it would just be like such a PR nightmare for them. And
I feel like they've made so much money. Like,
yeah, but when you're publicly traded, you've never made enough money.
I guess that's fair.
And yeah. There's no upside for them from a business standpoint.
I don't know, man. I think there could be.
I think there might be an upside one day to take a brand new property.
Sure.
And incorporate that.
Yeah.
But to inject it into an existing extremely successful property.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be a lot of people, and I'm not saying that they're correct, but they're going to feel like it was bait and switch, and you got my kids into this thing, and then now that they want to see Frozen 3, but I can't watch because you've turned it into this other thing, and then they're going to get picketed, and I just don't think any suit is going to go down that road from a business standpoint.
Yeah, I guess, but we talk about representation. I mean, and she would. I mean, I feel like if you're going to have somebody represent a whole community, why not be one of your most popular?
I think because and I'm not defending them.
I get it. Yeah.
What I think is the thought process is that being black or Asian or Native American is not a choice. And neither is being homosexual. Hang on. But there's a lot of people that still don't think that way.
Sure.
And they've assigned morality to it in a way that you don't assign morality to the existence of your ethnicity.
That's fair.
And so because of that, they don't want to go down that road and because there's not, from a business standpoint, a reason to do it.
Okay.
And look how out of control it got with the live-action Beauty and the Beast. And they didn't even mention it in that movie. They just barely show it in the background.
Show what?
That the Josh Gad character had a crush
Josh Gad just a lightning rod.
He dances with another man like in the last scene or something.
Well, and remember there was in the first Frozen, there was like a brief,
mm-hmm.
I mean...
It's very brief.
Blink and you miss it of like a gay couple.
Yeah.
Or what people were interpreting as a gay couple that like ran an inn or something.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was literally like for like 1/1000th of a second.
You saw Rapunzel and Flynn Rider longer than that couple.
Yeah. And
wow.
And people were freaking out about
it. Yeah. I guess that's, I get it. I guess
not
I'm
not saying it's right.
No, I guess I'm of the mind where it's like, You've got the audience. You've got the, and I guess I could see where it'd be like a bait and switch. But also like Frozen 3, I mean, Frozen 3 is going to be the wedding.
Yeah,
that's.
I don't feel like it's. I mean, personally, I don't feel from a storytelling standpoint that it would be a bait and switch because I really feel like they kind of are laying the groundwork.
Oh, for sure.
That Elsa's a lesbian.
Yeah,
and that. The themes and motifs of this
constantly.
Of this movie are always like, I don't fit in. Why don't I fit in? I don't understand why I'm not the same as everybody else. Like, you know, there's a lot of that within this that would really lean into a coming out story.
Even in the first one.
Yeah.
I mean, let it go. I mean, I feel like is exactly what that is.
Right.
And then they don't do it, which is fine. Like, you know, you're trying to establish that property. But I feel like in this one, it was like, yeah, it was right there.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a script. Where it's there.
It would not surprise me at all.
Right.
That at some point someone pitched, hey, what if?
Right.
Well, and so many Disney villains of the past, like Ursula and even Scar, have been like gay coded, which a lot of people talk about.
Oh,
people
think that Scar was gay? People think Scar is gay?
There's a whole thing out there about it. Like, he always makes the list of people that say, like, all these Disney villains are gay-coded. And, yeah, they do say Scar's on that list.
Interesting.
So at least now, like, if we are getting gay-coding, at least it's with the heroes instead of the villains now.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That makes a good point. It almost goes back to the Rambo discussion.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, you made a mistake there, buddy.
Right.
Speaking of, did you see Tim Miller? Tim Miller has just unleashed... Where he was like, no, I'll never work with Cameron again. And I'll never work with Ryan Reynolds again. And he's like, he blames them both. He was like, they wanted their own thing, and I'm a director, and I got to fight for what I got to fight for. But when they say, he's like, Deadpool, that's Ryan Reynolds' baby. And what he says goes, and I can't direct like that. And then he said, and then James Cameron, it's his baby. And when he says goes, and when I can't do what I want to do, I have to walk away. And I was like, well...
Yeah, I mean, you're not. Those are two movies where you're not really going to have any sort of final cut if you're the director.
No, not at all. So I thought that was interesting. Both of those franchises, he was like, "Nah, f them."
Well, and James Cameron alienating people in Hollywood, like big shocker there.
Right? Yeah. Like you knew what you were signing on for. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Elsa is starting to hear this echo coming from the enchanted woods, and she decides. I guess that there is Elsa accidentally wakes up the elementals. So they kind of not really attack Arendelle, but they force there's enough natural disaster to force the occupants of Arendelle out. So Elsa decides to they get the team back together. It's the original team and they're going to the forest to figure out what the hell's going on. So in that process, there is more, you get an idea of how Anna is coping with Elsa being back, and she's not, I mean, she's happy that she's back, but she kind of refuses to allow her to do her own thing. So anytime Elsa kind of breaks away, Anna like immediately leaves Kristoff behind and, tries to find Elsa. There's even a point where Anna believes that Kristoff just left. And I was just like, well, Why? No, you know that he wouldn't just leave. Like, he did fight like a snow monster to, you know, get back with you. So I just felt like that the insecurity for Anna, I thought, was a little weird. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I just felt like it was like her character was so different in the first movie, where she was funny and she was kind of, I don't want to say aloof, but she was kind of, what's the word? Innocent, not even innocent, but she's trying to do what's right, basically.
Like, overly eager about it.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And in this one, she's freaking out because her sister's back, but her sister is also trying to grow and change. And I felt like Anna's kind of just holding her back and refuses to let her do what she wants to do, you know?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
That I just thought it was kind of weird. She would be overprotective. But also, it's...
I mean, her sister's a mutant, for crying out
loud. It's been 3 years.
Yeah. And she's gotten stronger.
Right.
Like, Elsa's powers are completely different now. She's in complete control. She can do all kinds of... Like, literally, her powers have gone to, like, Omega level, where she can stop the precipitation in the air and turn them into, like, snow.
Right.
And I was like, that's Iceman level.
She also, in the boat that they find later, like, makes water rise out of the planks. I'm like, oh, okay, so Elsa has water powers now, too?
Well, like, I think that's a good question, because I had the same question, where it's like, I understand that you can control ice, but does that mean that you can pull, like, so basically what happens is Elsa is allowed entry into this mist, because nobody can get in. Nobody has ever been able to get in. Nobody can get out.
It's like a Manhattan nightclub.
All you think is Stefan, like, no. Describing a nightclub at that point. Dan Cortez is in there. I'm not sure if you knew that or not. So they go in and they end up meeting the tribe inside, and all of a sudden there's troops from Arendelle. And I do think it was weird that, like, as soon as they say who they are, they don't immediately be like, yep, oh, well, you know, all right, you tell us what you want us to do. They're like, no, we're still going to fight. And I was like, you know, she's the queen of Arendelle. Like, you kind of work for her now. Like, I don't know why you're trying to say, no, you're wrong to the queen that you're supposed to work for. So
it's a woman.
That was a moment where I was like, I mean, the guy had been in there for 35 years. And he was like, no. Yeah. That's not how this works.
That can't be a thing. Yeah, you get to be queen, but where's the guy that's in charge?
Right.
Well, then when we meet all these people, we get an almost Ant-Man-esque, like, recap of what happened in the first movie, performed by Olaf.
That
which
was
I did
amazing.
Find quite hilarious.
Yeah.
Yes. The
all
Michael
the Olaf
Pena
stuff I loved.
Yeah. 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 I can't fault anything there.
Yeah.
The Michael Pena-esque breakdown of Frozen 1. Was pretty great,
yeah.
By Olaf. So they basically, Elsa says, like, look, I know this, it's messed up. I know that there is some tension here. I will fix it. Like, I promise you, I will fix it. This is where they meet the fire totem, I guess. So it's zipping around.
Well, we missed the part where they bumped into the wind spirit and Elsa froze them all right before.
Oh, that's right.
All the people show up and she sees, like, all the frozen, like, moments in time. And then we get the whole, like, water has memory and everything. And she sees, I think, is that where we first see, like, her father getting rescued?
Yeah.
That we know,
yes,
from
that's
the
right.
Earlier
that's
story?
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. And we see her grandfather. So this is the first notion that maybe Elsa and Anna are of two worlds. And there was a moment where my 8-year-old was like, wouldn't it be weird if Elsa had, or if Anna had fire powers? And I was like, what?
Well, the original fairy tale, Elsa's, like, counterpart in the original fairy tale, she's the Snow Queen, and then the Snow Queen's sister is the Summer Queen.
Ah.
So I've always wondered if they would do this with Anna, but I don't know. They may not. Like,
and she's got the red hair.
Time,
that's, yeah.
Like, they do it to where it's just like, yeah, no, just Elsa's the magical one.
And we've still got I guarantee, well, I mean, judging by what this thing is making, we'll get a third one.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind. So, I'm trying to think. Do they, Next they go...
I think my big problem is I didn't care about any of this backstory. I cared about nothing.
Of the dad and the mom?
Yeah.
I could see that. I mean, I feel like with sequels, you'd have to do some world building. You know, like, so I...
And it didn't feel very organic to me.
I think
it's like,
going...
Hey, there's this major thing that happened that we've never told you about before.
Told us or the audience?
The audience.
I feel like that's okay, though, because they give you that little breakdown in the beginning.
But it just feels arbitrary. You know what I mean? It doesn't feel like it's growing out of anything. If the story's moving forward and you're introduced to new things, it's because new things are happening.
Right.
But when, you know, it's like, you know, I ran this with How I Met Your Mother, which I liked a lot. Right. But like when they're in the sixth season and all of a sudden Marshall's telling you a story about this best friend that you've never heard of before.
Right. Right.
Over 6 years of these people doing nothing but sitting in a room and talking to each other. Right.
Sure.
And I'm just like, well, no, like that's not. We should have heard about this before. Right.
Yeah.
And I just I know that there hasn't been that, you know, there hasn't been, you know, six seasons of Frozen, but it's still it feels like that's a really big backstory to just. Have not heard.
They do completely destroy the theory that they were on their way to Rapunzel's wedding.
Yes.
That's gone out the window completely with this movie. So they start this journey. They meet the wind that Olaf dubs Gale. I was like, oh, that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Right. Like, all right, fair enough. And then they meet the lizard, which I think was very like the fire totem is like zipping around, setting the forest on fire, and Elsa's constantly trying to extinguish the flame and save the forest. And finally, she catches up to it, and it's just this little tiny. And I was like, "Well, here's your cute animal for the Disney movie,
the adorable little fire newt."
Yeah, the fire newt that immediately falls in love with Elsa because she can put it out, and she's not. Wow.
I hope they're making all those little figures flame retardant.
Yeah. No, just set it on fire. It'll
generation
really
of children trying to set it on fire so it looks like the one in the movie.
So she has now tamed two of the elementals. So she's got the wind on her side and she's got fire on her side. We are introduced here. This is where we get the backstory where it turns out that Elsa and Anna's parents, one was from the tribe and one was from Arendelle. So now Elsa and Anna are of two worlds, which would lead to the idea that maybe Anna has fire powers that we haven't seen yet. So they kind of sit down. They start to have this coming together. I do like that the general like is trying to he's asking about things in Arendelle, and he asks about like this woman. She was like, "Is he married? Is she married?" And she was like, "No." And he's like, "I don't know how it makes me feel happy and sad at the same time." So this is where we meet the land giants, which are just like giant rock monsters. And I was like, oh, cool. Like Aronofsky's Noah.
Yeah. Perfect. They finally got work again.
Yeah. Good for them. So, and these things are not the greatest of things. Like it's weird. There's no true villain.
Well, there was like, that was the same issue last time.
What do you mean?
Well, no, Hans was the villain. He was just a surprise villain.
Yeah, but he wasn't really like, I don't know. I didn't feel like he was a villain that was really driving the story, though. Disney's been kind of moving away from villains in a lot of their you know what I mean? Like,
that's true. It's more about internal conflict.
Right.
That's a good point.
Like, you think about it like Wreck-It Ralph, there's really not.
Himself?
Yeah.
But you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, even in, what was the emotion one?
Inside Out.
Inside Out.
There's no real villain.
No, that's true.
Well, in a way, you know, like, I'm kind of glad for this. When I was a kid and, like, A Bug's Life came out, I was at that age where I was like, I'm too cool for Disney now.
What?
And I remember thinking, like, and telling my dad, like, I want to go see a different movie. I don't want to see A Bug's Life because, like, I know exactly how it's going to go. There's going to be a bad guy. There's going to be a conflict. They're going to go face the bad guy. They're going to beat the bad guy. And then there's a happy ending. And it's just they've all become very formulaic. So Disney's breaking out of that formula.
Yeah,
big time for sure. And I mean, for the most part, it's working. But yeah, like, there is no true villain. There really is no villain in this whatsoever. There's nobody there that has been plotting against.
I mean, if anything, Arendelle.
Arendelle, I guess, is their grandfather is the spoilers is the villain. he's the one that started this conflict, and he you know kind of a military coup, if you will. So Elsa basically has, they lose Kristoff because Kristoff like he's been trying. I love that he's trying to propose and he sucks at it. He is constantly screwing it up. And Anna, kind like the way Anna is interpreting the things that Kristoff is saying.
I didn't like this at all.
At all.
Because
I did not like it at all.
It was very contrived. Like nothing about it felt, it was like the writers were going out of their way to create conflict where there was none.
Yeah.
And they were going out of their way to have her misinterpret very obvious overtures.
Right.
And so she could be offended and you could separate them for part of the story. But the problem is it wasn't well done. And so at some point it sounds like she's deliberately misinterpreting
yes.
what he's saying.
Yes.
Which isn't what she was doing, but it was starting to feel like that.
I agree.
See, and this is where I get tainted by my fandom of Once Upon a Time, because her character's a lot like that in the TV show as well. And it's more that she just takes everything a little too literally, kind of
yeah.
like Drax. Like, she really doesn't
okay.
understand subtlety and symbolism. So she takes things way too literally and then just kind of runs with it.
Yeah, I did. The line that I did like, he's like, I know the situation isn't the most ideal. And she was just like, what are you talking? And that one part I thought was kind of funny. But overall, he is saying stuff that I guess could be construed as like, if it were any, like the one line where it's like, if it was anybody else. And she's like, do you want to be with somebody else?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, whoa, pump the brakes. Like, that's not what I'm saying at all.
Yeah.
So Kristoff not hooks up, but becomes friends with one of the dudes from the tribe. And he's like, yeah, we got a way to do this. Like, if you want to do it, just come with me. You'll be ready to go by morning. And in this process, Elsa decides to go off on her own and try to figure out what the hell. She keeps hearing this voice in the woods. So she's trying to figure out what the hell's going on. So in this process of like our characters being separated, Anna is led to believe that Kristoff just was like pimped away and was like, see ya. Like, I didn't just spend 4 years trying to, you know, falling in love with you and building this life with you. And when things get tough, I'm out. Like, I'm not coming
yeah.
back. And it's just like, whoa, like, I don't think, all right, whatever.
Well, I don't know if you know this, Joe, but sometimes guys have a really hard time, like, conveying what they mean. And us women have a hard time, like, interpreting it. And we always jump to the worst conclusions every time.
I appreciate you saying that. Thank you. But yeah, I guess I feel like.
But they've also been together for 3 years at this point.
Yeah.
Should have 3 years of proving that he's sticking around.
Yeah.
Like, I've been with my boyfriend for 3 years, and I still have these moments where he says something, and like he doesn't clarify it, and then I just have to jump to my own conclusion, which is always the darkest place, and then it ensues a problem, and he's like, I was just kidding. I'm like, well, you can't kid about stuff like that.
Man, it feels like a fight I've had numerous times. So Elsa and Anna, and I do think it's weird, like, Anna doesn't give a poop. Like, when Kristoff is gone, she's like, okay, cool, see ya.
Yeah.
Like, there was no,
she's
like,
sad about it. Like,
barely.
She definitely has this disappointed look, but she needs to be there for her sister more so than, like, trying to figure out where Kristoff went off to.
I don't
disagree. Because her sister's in mortal danger if she doesn't go with her.
But she, see, that, and there,
well,
this.
Well, that's what she thinks, at least.
That's fair. Okay, I get you. So they kind of go off into, like, they find, like, this barren wasteland. And they walk up on this ledge, and all of a sudden, there's their parent's ship. And I was, and in my head, I was like, all right, like, plot twist. I'm cool. Like, this is interesting. Maybe the parents are alive, and they got, you know, they couldn't get out of the.
Yeah, I thought that's where they were going.
They couldn't
first.
Get out of the mist. I
yeah.
was like, okay, so they're not Tarzan's parents. Good to know.
Also, not the ship and the Little Mermaid.
Not the ship and the Little
exploring.
Mermaid. Weren't going to Rapunzel's wedding. So they kind of go into the boat and they, this is the scene that you were talking about where she pulls the water out of the boards of the ship.
But after they find the, I guess, Arendelle black box of ships.
I did like Olaf's
yeah.
line. Where
I
he was like,
I hated that line. That's like the oldest hack stand-up joke in the world.
I think that was the point, though.
It was just like, oh, that's
it. I agree, but I feel like it worked in it, to me it worked in this situation because
yeah.
it is Olaf. It's almost like Fozzie Bear telling a bad
right.
joke where you're just like, yeah, I know it's
that,
a bad joke.
Yeah, like the whole
I
point of Fozzie is
to tell a bad joke, which is, you know, they're like partnered with State Farm now.
Oh yeah,
which is very weird.
That
yeah,
Facebook portal
that is weird.
What's Facebook portal?
It's their like video conferencing thing that they're trying to get people to do that nobody's doing.
Good. Yeah.
Has anybody ever made a Facebook video call on purpose?
No.
I've gotten hundreds of them on accident. Like the immediate response to
the click,
to Facebook is like, "Whoops, sorry, yeah. Didn't mean to send that."
Right, right.
My whole thing though is like in a black box in an airplane, it's recording automatically. Like, could you imagine someone sitting there like as the ship is going down, like writing as fast as they can, and then trying to get it all sealed up before it sinks? Like, how does that work exactly?
That's a valid point because there is like a map with drawings on it, and it's basically they have to go to this island, but their mother had like mapped it out. And it says Elsa's powers ? And so it's just like, that is true. The ship's going down. She's like, oh Christ, I got to get this thing in the black box before it's too late.
Something they do in the TV show. She jots down a letter about all the stuff she did wrong and throws it in a bottle in the ocean, hoping it makes it to her daughters.
Whose daughters?
The mom of Elsa and Anna in the TV show Once Upon a Time, as the ship is going down, she's trying to write a letter to them, and she puts a message in a bottle and chucks it in the ocean right before they drown.
Do they play the Police song? That's all I need to know.
Roxanne?
Yeah, Roxanne. That's the one I was thinking of, yeah. That's a good song, though.
It is a good song.
Yeah, it's a good song. Yeah, so
I like Eddie Murphy's version.
What's his version?
That's what he's singing in the... When Nick Nolte first meets
him. Oh, yeah. 48 hours. Yes, you're right. Yeah.
He's got his headphones. He's got his Walkman on.
What a weird, like, if this thing works for Eddie Murphy, what a interesting career pivot.
Yeah.
To get away from the family Eddie Murphy and go back to, like, the 80s Eddie Murphy.
That'll
be interesting to see if, see if he can do that.
Although, boy, 48 hours, there's a movie you couldn't make today.
Oh, hell. You could make it, but you would have to ditch all of Nick Nolte's dialogue.
Right.
Oh, you couldn't make Trading Places today either. I just watched that the other day. You got Dan Aykroyd in blackface.
That's right. Oh my God,
he was in blackface.
You do.
You've got all this like classist stuff. You've got Eddie Murphy as a homeless man. Like, oh, there's so many problems you'd have with that movie nowadays.
I think I picked that for one of our Christmas episodes. I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
It's when John Landis
About the black.
I did too. That's when John Landis could do no wrong.
That whole scene, like they're racist against Irish people. They're racist.
Well, we kind of got it coming.
Yeah. You deserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know what I'm watching tonight.
So anyways, back to the Arendelle black box.
Yeah, yes. right.
It's bad when the guest is redirected to conversation.
So they just so this is the scene where Elsa's like, I'm going to that island and you're not coming with me. She's basically like, F you. Like, I know you want to go with me, but I have to do this by myself. And Anna is adamant that she will not let her go. No pun intended. So Elsa pulls a slick little move where she's like, all right, group hug. And she brings in Olaf. She brings in Anna. She's like, deuces, and makes them a little ice boat and kicks them both in the boat and sends them on their way. And I was like, oh, man, that was a slick move, Elsa. Like, well done.
I didn't like that they separated them again. Like, if I was like, oh, cool, they're going to go on an adventure together.
Yeah.
And then they separate them.
That's fair. I feel like. What they're trying to accomplish with Elsa here, I would rather her do it on her own. You know, like,
I like the idea of like, okay, they were separated in the last one, but they can work together
sure,
in this one.
Sure.
And then they didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, but since we're ripping off the Fifth Element for this movie, like, spoilers, this would be like when Lilu goes off on her own to go meet the Diva. And so... This
yeah,
Elsa
that's a good point.
To go off on her own to go
meet her mother,
the horse.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, see. And the diva.
Wait, she's meeting up with horse.
Oh no, H O R S E.
Oh,
yeah.
I was like, oh man,
that's the vivid version of
yeah,
this movie.
I'm like, this movie just got interesting.
So, and I think this is probably my favorite scene of the movie. I think this is a Disney. We always talk about how they're always stepping their game up with Pixar and Disney, and this is a Disney Pictures Animation.
Right. This is feature animation.
Yeah,
Pixar.
This is not Pixar. And I don't know how much better they can get. You know what I mean?
It was a beautiful movie.
My
God. Visually, it looked great.
The water, I feel like water is probably the hardest thing.
Water and I think fur, hair is really difficult.
Yeah.
That was definitely something I noticed in this movie. The animation of the water is just perfect and stunning.
Yeah. I think I thought it was going to be hard to top Moana, and they've done it.
Yeah,
like, it looks even better than Moana.
There are moments of this film that look photorealistic.
Yeah. Yeah. Unlike that dog in Call of the Wild.
The dog in Call of the Wild.
Wow.
Somebody should make a mashup trailer where they replace the dog from Call of the Wild with the original Sonic.
I was shocked.
I couldn't believe how bad
and how bad that looks. And I was like, man, what is Disney thinking? And I was like, oh, it's not Disney.
Is Harrison Ford one of these guys that's like, we can't ever use an animal in a movie? Is that what was going on there, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, because I was wondering, like, why use a fake dog at all? We've made tons of movies with real dogs that are just fine, like White Fang and other Disney
Homeward
movies
Bound,
that
the Shaggy
don't
DA.
Like to think about.
Shaggy DA. Like, and I get that there are probably going to be scenes in the movie where you got to CGI the dog.
Makes sense.
But, like, there's literally, like, he's just sitting there petting a dog and it's CGI.
The dog is looking up in the sky at snow.
Yeah.
And I was like, woo, buddy.
You don't
need
a CGI dog for that.
Nope. You just say, sit and look up.
Yeah.
Actually, according to Shaun of the Dead, dogs can't look up. That's a line from the movie.
But, like, even animal rights activists typically are like, dogs are okay because they're domesticated. It's wild animals that they don't
like
want
bears and tigers and stuff.
Yeah, that they don't want you to use in movies. But like dog, like they're okay. But they're like dogs. You can train a dog and they'll be okay.
Right.
And I'm not saying there isn't any animal rights person that's like so like never. But
for
the most part, like they're like dogs are okay.
Right.
I think cats are okay, but it's when you start bringing in wild animals.
Leo's like, can we not use a real bear?
Right.
I would prefer not to be attacked by one. That'd be great.
Yes.
You know, I would almost put money that you're right, Tom. I bet it was that Harrison Ford didn't want to have to be working with a dog all the time. Because they say the two hardest things to work with in movies are children and animals. Well, puppets.
You can tell by Harrison Ford's temperament that he probably isn't the easiest person to work with anyway.
He seems a little surly.
A little cranky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you almost have a near death experience when you...
All I know is when I saw him standing next, sitting next to the dog, I was just like, I wonder how Chewbacca feels about all this.
He doesn't care because Han Solo's dead.
Yeah.
No.
He's like, I could have made a Call of the Wild movie.
I would pay for that movie.
Yes.
Like, multiple times.
There's another mashup trailer you could make.
Harrison Ford and Chewie.
And Chewie.
Yeah.
In Call of the Wild.
I'm with it. I think this is the greatest. This is the best scene of the whole movie, is Elsa trying to... The water itself is not allowing her to get to the island, so she is constantly trying to have to use her ice powers to, you know, run up the waves.
Did I tune out, or did we not really discuss the idea of that, like, they're in this kind of paradox of if they free the forest, it dooms Aaron?
We haven't gotten there yet, because Anna...
She figures that out
When she's doing the depressed stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but she does figure that out.
I thought we were at the scene where she's stopping the water from hitting Aaron.
Not yet. This is her just like trying to run up the wave and get to the island. This is where she has the interaction with the horse, where she tames the horse and the horse gets her to the island.
Yeah.
This was the first trailer that came out.
Yeah,
it got
yeah.
me
right,
really
right, right.
excited for this movie because I was like, this scene looks amazing. I don't know what else is doing, but it's awesome looking.
I do think it's funny that they're just like, how many outfits can we get? How many toys can we get out of Elsa in one movie?
She's on this horse, and I was like, did they buy TriStar, too?
Okay, so as somebody who goes to conventions, and I cosplay, and I love dresses and fashion design stuff, I totally, like, geek-girled out over all the different dresses that Anna and Elsa show in this
There's
movie.
A lot.
I was like, oh, my God, I want to wear that one. I want to wear that one. Like, oh, I cannot wait. And they're easier to make than the first movie ones, I think. Like, the one that Anna wears for the party.
Oh, like the purple and green one?
The one that's, like, the real green skirt that she falls into the river.
Sure.
Frozen that she trades out for different clothes.
It's a great scene, though.
I'm such a boy. Like, I don't even remember her having different outfits.
So, it's so I have at least, not me personally, at least two, maybe three Elsa dresses in my house that the kid, so they have been passed down. So Bella wore them 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And now Gwen is wearing them now. So it's just like, ah, just when I thought I was free of Elsa and Anna.
I always tell people that are new parents.
Yeah.
And they want my piece of advice. The first thing I always tell is get your kids into Pokemon.
Okay.
Because it's been around so long.
Oh, sure.
That you can scoop it up at garage sales dirt cheap, but it's still current in the pop culture pantheon, so the kids don't realize you're buying them cheap stuff.
Yeah, right.
They think you got them new stuff.
Yeah.
That's my tip for new parents.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah.
There's a
heck
lot.
In my house, I can just give them my old Pokemon stuff. I'm still into Pokemon.
See, that's what you're putting my point. Like, give them the old stuff that doesn't matter. The cards have been pulled out of circulation, whatever.
We've got a box in the living room full of dress-up stuff.
Which is so unfair, by the way. When I was a little kid, they didn't have just, like, all the outfits in the toy section year-round.
I know.
I'm like, I'm so jealous. I keep telling my boyfriend, I was like, can we please have a little girl just so I can buy her all this cool stuff?
No, because you'll go bankrupt. Trust me. Yeah, so Elsa, she tames the water element, and she gets to the island, and this is where it's almost like... it's the castle scene again, where she gets waylaid with all this information. She figures out they were told early on that there's a fifth element,
right?
And we find out that it's her, that Elsa is the fifth element.
You mean you didn't know that instantly?
No, I knew that, of course.
When they show the four and there's one in the middle that connects them
that
all.
That looks like a snowflake?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nope. Also, no pun intended.
Right.
That's another word that I can't say anymore without people like, woo!
Yeah.
Well, and her powers very much are based on love. Like, fear makes them out of control. Love helps her control it. And isn't the fifth element in that movie, like, love? Like, isn't that
point? Like, maybe.
When he kisses Lilu and they find out love is the fifth
oh,
element.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, my God. They ripped off two
so
movies.
Ripped off that movie.
It's like Fern Gully all over again. It's like Avatar all over again.
Ah.
Avatar is the one that ripped everything off. So now we flash to... So basically, Elsa sacrifices herself. And I was just like, all right. So we get Ice Elsa. So she freezes as she's getting all of this information. We find out that her grandfather actually... was the aggressor, and I think chopped off a guy's head. I'm pretty sure that's what he did without them actually showing it to us. And we find out that the dam that was built as
it's
like
a
this
Disney
piece,
movie. It's a darn.
It's a darn. It's a dang it.
Yeah.
that was supposed to be like this peace offering is actually killing this forest. Like
right.
It's cut off its water supply and it is killing the forest. So Anna is having, like, she has a breakdown. Like, she hits her rock bottom in this moment, and
well, she hits rock bottom after Olaf disappears because Elsa gets frozen.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, the whole song, like the lullaby that we get, which is super dark, which
is super
all
dark.
Lullabies are, which they do point out, like, early on, like when they meet the North people, she's like, God, there's always like such dark lines in lullabies. I was like, thank you for being self-aware about that.
Yeah.
But so it says, like, don't go too far or you'll drown. So Elsa, when she's in that ice cave on the island, when she finally gets there, she sees all the visions with her mom and everything, realizes that she's the fifth element. And then she follows, because she created, like, the ice / snow, like, water has memory, like, things for
right.
her to see what's happened in the past. Her grandfather, like, walks away. Like, her snow grandfather walks away, and she follows it to this, like, pit. And she decides to jump down in the pit.
Oh, you're right, you're
she
right.
She starts to freeze. And then right at the moment she totally freezes over, she sends up that signal to Anna that eventually shows Anna, like, what happened. And then right after that, Olaf, like,
he says something's wrong,
dissipates.
And I was like, I mean, it's a Disney movie. So I was like, well, they might. They might kill him. I don't know.
Well, and they say, like, as he's fading away, he says to Anna, like, love is, and then he doesn't, or no, how does it go? He says, like, something is permanent, and then I was like, what, death is permanent? Like, as he's dying, but he's like, no, love is permanent, and I'm like, okay.
So, oh, that makes more sense.
He's,
yeah,
he's probably gonna come back. Like, Disney's not gonna do that. Although
no, he's too cute.
I could hear crying in the theater, like, yeah. Mommy, is Olaf dead?
No,
you're like, you know how we know Olaf isn't dead? He's not a parent.
Yeah, that's a good
only
point.
Only parents die in Disney movies
or villains.
Yeah,
yeah. So Anna realizes that she has to.
I think it's adorable, though, that they think love is permanent.
Dumbass.
Yeah.
Oh, I do want to point out here, by the way. So Anna gets, you know, sent off on the little ice sled by Elsa. And Elsa creates, like, an ice, like, slide for them to go down.
Right.
And Anna had, like, rocked herself off of that, and they, you know, diverted off into the river. And then, like, she encounters all the giant, like, earth stone giants, and then they go into that little cave to escape them, which is where Olaf disappears and everything. But not before Anna, like, falls in the water and then gets out. So, like, I don't think that Anna has fire powers. I think she just is totally resistant to hypothermia.
You make a valid point. Now. There's a lot of, like, water and cold, and I was like, how is nobody freezing in this movie? If I even get my shirt gets a little damp from, like, cause, you know, I have to wear, like, three layers. If the bottom layer gets wet, I'm just like, oh, I'm cold. This is the worst.
Yeah, and twice now, one time in each movie, Anna has completely fallen in an ice-cold river, gotten out, and seemed to be completely fine.
Maybe she does have fire powers. We just don't know
it's
yet.
Keeping her warm.
I guess her clothes did freeze in that first movie. That didn't really help her at all. So this is where Anna figures out, I have to destroy the dam. Like, the only way to make this better, is to destroy the dam. Dang it.
There you go.
Thank you.
And we did get another song here. This is that whole, I think this is like the message of the movie is if you don't know really what to do, just do the next right thing.
Keep pushing. Like, keep pushing. Like, yeah. Take one step, stand up, take one step. And I was like, I can get behind this song. Like, this one, this Anna song, is it as chipper as Do You Want to Build a Snowman or the other one that she sings in the castle? No. But, and that's, it's like, I've had a crush on Kristen Bell since Veronica Mars. So
I think
it's
America in general.
I think that's fair. That's fair. So it's always like, yeah.
Do you watch The Good Place?
I do.
Oh, what a great show.
It is a great show. I'm a season behind, but
it's the best show on television right now.
It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
I do like that the guy that, who's the love interest? What's his name?
I don't know the actor's name, but Chidi Abaganye.
Yeah. He actually shows up on the new Jack Ryan show.
Ah.
And I was like, I know that guy.
He was in Midsommar.
He was in Midsommar and doesn't, well.
Yeah.
Well, sad day for that guy.
Well, sad day for everybody in that movie.
Maybe not Florence
No, everybody.
Pugh. Yeah, that's fair.
No.
She does smile at the end.
Well, yeah, but not a happy smile.
So she kind of wakes up the land giants and has them start to throw rocks. And, you know, this is where Kristoff comes back and they kind of reconnect where he's like, yeah, like, of course I'm coming back. Like, I would never, you know, and I was like, okay, like, Anna has had another character shift where she's like, of course Kristoff's not leaving. We run into the Arendelle guard, and basically Anna tells them what happened. And I do appreciate that they don't, like, there was a moment where I was like, man, Sterling K. Brown might be the bad guy. Like, might be the one who's like, no, I started it. But then we find out that it's a grandfather. And I do appreciate that immediately he's like, yep, cool, let's blow it up. And that's what they do. Like, they knock down the dam.
Darn.
and honestly,
Kevin should edit in chicken noises every time you say damn.
And it's weird, like, the resolution here is pretty quick. Like, they knock down the dang it, and everything kind of fixes itself. Like, Anna shows or Elsa
it's
shows
a little
up.
Bit of a cheap ending.
I don't disagree.
Because it's like, it's one of those endings where it's like, oh, we have to make this tough choice, and we're going to make this tough choice. Even
so, I'm going to sacrifice our village.
But then they end up not really having to to live with the sacrifice.
But then I was like, where did that water go? Like, she just
out
threw
to the ocean. They live
so
in
she just
fjord.
Pushed it back. Oh,
yeah,
she pushed it off to the side.
It. Yeah, and just blocked it so that it didn't hit their...
I'm with you.
So in the next movie, it's going to be about the village next to them that they flooded out.
He was so pissed.
Yeah.
Am I the only one that had a San Andreas flashback is like Otto was trying to escape from the collapsing dam?
I didn't, but I'm now that you've said that, yes. So this is where we get Elsa's sixth or seventh costume, her final
and
form.
I was thinking of John Cusack driving in 2012.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Yeah.
Or even The Day After Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we get Elsa's final form, which is like this. The ponytail is gone. Now her hair's down. It's no longer a blue dress. It's like a white dress that's completely the wings are bigger. We find out that she's going to basically turns Arendelle over to Anna. and says, this isn't where I'm supposed to be. Like, I'm supposed to be on that island by myself. And I was like, that's weird, but all right.
Yeah.
And
she's like, I'm supposed to be on this island by myself, not loving women. Don't worry.
I
gotta go be the fifth element on the planet.
They do give that character that she has the interaction with a name, and I can't remember it, and I called her Mudhoney, and that's a deep Seattle grunge cut, if anybody gets that one.
Yeah.
That's, you know. But yeah, so she turns everything over to Anna, and Anna becomes the... Kristoff finally proposes, and I thought at one point, like, the ring was gonna be gone. Like, through all of this mess, he dropped the ring, and Elsa would make him a new ring.
Ah.
None of that happens. I just put that in my script. So, yeah, so they... Basically, Anna goes to do her own thing. Or Elsa goes to do her own thing. Anna ends up running Arendelle, and that's kind of how it ends.
Yeah, like, yay, Queen Anna. We finally got another Disney princess promoted to queen.
Yeah, right, right. yeah, I felt like that as a sequel, it furthered everybody's story. It expanded their world. But I could see where some people weren't a fan.
I just thought the songs were really mediocre. And the
songs were very mediocre.
And the song and the story just did nothing for me.
Yeah, I could see that.
See, I really enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy it as much as the first one, but I enjoyed it. I liked the songs. Like, I grew up watching all those old Rodgers and Hammerstein, like, Broadway musical stuff. Like, that's what my mom brought me up watching. And so this movie very much is still that Broadway formula like the first one. And I liked the songs. Some of them were, you know, they were pretty mediocre. Like, and I had to laugh out loud when Kristoff turned into Bryan Adams for me. But, but generally, you know, I thought it was fine as a sequel. Like, it didn't, like, make me mad. It didn't undo any good things about the first one. And yeah, it did further it. It did kind of undo some of the canon in my head from Once Upon a Time, but I guess that now puts that in fan fiction realm with all the rest of the stuff on that show.
Yeah, and then they set him up for part three.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
I think, because do you guys know the original fairy tale?
No.
No.
Okay, so quick sum up is like a thing sort of like Puck from Midsummer Night's Dream. You know, like a mischievous sprite creates this magical mirror that makes people see the worst in everything. And the mirror shatters and then scatters across the land. And this little boy who's like best friends with this girl who's his neighbor, they might as well be siblings, gets some in his eye and his heart. And then like weird stuff happens. And then the Snow Queen comes and kidnaps him. So the little girl goes after him to find him. And then in the meantime, she bumps into the Summer Queen, who tries to keep her in her land, and then she ends up with the Snow Queen later to get her friend back. And if I remember right, I think the kids end up dead at the end.
It's, I mean,
like,
sure.
It's Hans Christian Andersen. Like, all of his fairy tales are very tragic. He was not mentally all there. He
That's how you keep kids
illness.
In line, man.
Yeah. It is, really. Like, but I'm wondering, I'm like, are we setting up to go for, like, the original fairy tale? Like, Elsa's all by herself out in the wilderness, and she's going to go kidnap some little boy. Or maybe, in this case, some little girl, and, like, maybe try to make her bride.
I feel like that's even more problematic than where I went with it. But, yeah, I think Frozen 3 will be the wedding, and they'll figure out some, maybe the Duke of Wet Weasel Town will show back up or something. I don't know. But yeah, this thing, do we have an idea of what this thing made at all?
It made $120 million this
week. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Did you guys stay through the credits for the post-credit scene?
I did.
Okay. That was it.
So it was Olaf basically breaking down the entire movie a la what he did earlier.
Oh, but that would have been worth sticking around for.
Yeah.
And his audience was the big snow monster from the first movie and then all the little miniature snowmen that you get in, like, the
snow
boogers. The spring short that they did.
They're the snow boogers. The ones that
is
Elsa
that
keeps. Yeah, well, that's what I call them.
Yeah.
Elsa kept sneezing and they would just be like little snowmen. But,
oh,
yeah.
That's right. That's great.
But it's the giant. And he's like, we are alive. And that's how it ends. But, yeah, you know, it's Disney. Like, what are you going to do?
It was not my thing.
I get it. You were all about the first one.
Because I'm a Disney guy. I love Broadway musicals. Like, I'm not like a guy that's like, oh, it's stupid. I
never
love
said that.
I love that stuff. But this one did nothing for me. Well, I was really bummed out.
That sucks. I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, I guess that's it for this one. I guess we should depart so we can prepare for our next one. Julianne, where can people find you if you would like to be found?
Oh, you can find me on the Facebook group, the League of Show Sharers. I'm on there a lot. I do have an Instagram under the name Val Usagi, V-A-L-U-S-A-G-I, that I've used for my cosplay and other stuff. If people want to check that out. It's not super active, but I'm always loving traffic, so.
Awesome.
And you can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, B-U-T-T-S 21.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, which is called the League of Show Sharers. And then you can also find us on Patreon, Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. $5 a month gets you all sorts of bonus content and the joy of knowing that you helped out. And maybe an invite to be a guest one day.
Maybe.
You never know. So that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Yeah.
So until then, Nikki makes it to Nationals.
Into the unknown.
Into the unknown.
Into the unknown. But I won't. Some look for trouble while others don't.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.